Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with my co-host, Lou Ann Crane. And Lou Ann, as most of our listeners know, I have a five-year-old son, and I've got a baby girl on the way. And as I look forward to having another little one in the house, I have got to tell you, I am really looking forward to all that has in store for us.
Ryan, I remember when my four were that little, and there are so many things that I miss about that season.
Being bigger than them?
Oh, that's one of them. But I got to tell you, there are also so many things I do not miss about it. I mean, there's a reason that they coined the phrase terrible twos.
Oh, that's no doubt about it. I mean, that hit. And I think as any parent knows, we have a tendency to look back with maybe rose-tinted glasses.
A little bit.
But parents who are in the thick of it right now don't seem to have that issue.
So if you are dealing today with a fickle four-year-old or a toddler who's starting to test the limits of his boundaries, as well as your patience, mom or dad, you are in the right place. As today we'll be hearing Dr. Dobson address some of the most common questions from parents like you.
Oh, my dad loves kids. Mm-hmm. And since his days at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and USC School of Medicine, he has been passionate about helping parents understand their kids and how to guide them and how to discipline them so they grow up to be healthy, mature adults.
And of course, much of that wisdom is encapsulated in Dr. Dobson's best-selling books like The New Dare to Discipline and The New Strong-Willed Child. But Ryan, today's program is a little bit unique because we'll be hearing your dad counseling actual parents who called in over the phone to get his advice.
Well, Luann, these calls were recorded, and this is going to be a special day because when I travel around and people go, oh, it must be so nice just to call your dad and ask advice. And I think you can do the same thing just by listening. Mm-hmm. So let's get to the very first question here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
I'm the mother of two children under two, and my problem is with my 20-month-old girl.
Yeah, I hear her in the background.
She's wanting to write right now. Generally, she's a very cheerful little girl, but sometimes she gets in moods where she whines for and about everything. And they're not really full-on temper tantrums, but it's just the sort of whining. She doesn't ask for a cookie, she whines for a cookie. She doesn't get a cookie, she whines about the situation. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're wondering what an appropriate response would be for her age.
Before I answer your question, let's see how well you understand your own daughter. Why do you think she whines? I mean, that takes more energy to whine than to speak in a normal voice. Why would a child do that?
Well, I'm thinking it's probably it's more effective. She's probably thinking she's going to get her way if she whines.
Yes, and she not only thinks that, but it must have occurred or else it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
A child is very observant of what works and what does not work.
Yeah.
It's the same way if you went to a supermarket and all the prices were half what they would cost in another market, you would return, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because your behavior was rewarded.
Of course.
And a 20-month-old child can just drive her mother crazy by talking incessantly and wanting every minute of her time. And so you get to the place where you don't react. You get to the place where you ignore a lot of that talk, and you have to if you're going to get anything done. So the child resorts to something that grates on you. And unconsciously, you turn and give attention when this scratchy, grating, whiny voice is used, but you don't reinforce the other. You can reverse that fairly easily. In other words, any behavior that's learned by reinforcement can be extinguished or eliminated by withholding the reinforcement. So it's a little difficult at 20 months of age, but as time goes by, this is the approach you should take. You should say, oh, Janie, I can't hear you. You're talking in a whining voice. My ears don't hear a whiny voice. They only hear a good voice. And the minute that she uses her regular voice, then turn and say, now I can hear you. Ignore the whine and reinforce the normal voice, and you'll find the normal voice will return.
Okay, you've answered my question.
All right.
Dr. Dobson?
Yes.
We have a 21-month-old baby boy, and we didn't tell him that we were going to talk to you tonight before we put him to bed. But here's my question. He has two habits now going on for, say, 6 to 12 months that we're trying to break. The first habit concerns food eating. Quite often, close to the end of our dinner time, if something does not go his way, he either spits up the last bite or throws up half of what he ate. And we've been disciplining him by spanking him. And we're wondering here also whether we are reinforcing his habit.
Is this an extremely strong-willed child that you have? Is he...
No, I wouldn't call him a strong-willed child.
What kind of situations occur that cause him to throw up? You say when it doesn't go his way, when what doesn't
go? We would prefer him to, say, finish what's in his bowl. Not that we're overfeeding him, but we were brought up that way. And it's like if he decides he wants to go and play halfway through dinner, then he wants down. So we tell him, no, you can't go down until you finish your dinner.
Even if you do not have a strong-willed child, even a compliant child has a desire to control his own life. And if I had an hour, I could describe that to you, but I think you know that. And you will see elements of self-will and a desire to run things himself all the way through childhood. And usually those desires for self-will will be manifested in common battlefields, places where he'll test you, places where he will challenge your authority and your limits. One of them is bedtime. About 18 months of age, most kids will begin to resist going to bed. If that hadn't happened to your 21-month-old, stick around, because it will. It will. Another is clothes. Another is hair. There are a number of common battlefields, but probably the most frequently used battlefield, if you want to use that term, is food. And a child will say, I can control this even if I can't control anything else. And that's why I think it's very important for parents not to make too big a deal out of food. It's not necessary for him to eat absolutely everything on his plate. And I think physicians today and nutritionists will tell you that a child will eat what he needs, and you should not try to get him to eat more than he wants. The main thing is that you control what he eats and the order in which he eats it. In other words, you don't allow him to have ice cream first and then he doesn't want anything else. But if he's not hungry and he doesn't want to eat, then don't make him eat. And I guarantee you, if you don't allow him to snack and you don't allow him to kill that appetite with something bad, he'll be back good and hungry the next meal, and you will not hurt him by letting him get good and hungry. So if that is a problem for you and he is throwing up because he's got to eat the rest of this stuff, I think you ought to back off.
Okay.
And I don't see a lot to be gained by sitting there making him eat every last bite. I want to tell you something. There are times when I leave things on the plate and I don't like to eat if I'm not hungry. And you may do that too. Now, I know traditionally parents have said you don't leave here till every bite is in your mouth. And what that sets up is a power struggle that is unnecessary. I just don't think that it accomplishes that much.
First of all, I just want to say my husband just became a Christian almost 4 days ago, and I'm just ecstatic, and I know a big deal of it was because we listened to your programs together.
Hey, that's the most exciting thing you could say to me.
Amen, I'll tell you it is. Okay, my question is, we have our daughter, we found our daughter in a situation with a friend's little boy who's 7 years old. They were in the closet, and she was just beginning to take her pants down, and he had his open, and I was shocked, and so I didn't really know what to do or how to react about it. So she was really afraid of it, and the mother of the boy just chose to pass it off as a natural thing, you know, said not to worry about it. But I'm a Christian, and she's not, and this really bothered me. I was abused, you know, sexually as a child, and so I'm really... really worried about this. I know it only happened one time, but then last summer it also happened with one of her cousins who's a little bit older than her, and she's just so naive and believing. So I was just wondering.
The mother of the boy is both right and wrong. She's right in saying that it's natural. It's natural in the sense that it happens to most kids. But she's wrong in the sense that it's no big deal because it must be stifled. You must stop it. Nearly every kid will experiment in that way. I know very few youngsters that don't at some time or another explore the bodies of the opposite sex. because they want to know what they look like. And it's exciting, and children are not asexual. They are sexual creatures. A five-year-old girl is very different from a five-year-old boy. And she knows that there's something there, but she's not sure what it's all about. So it's reasonable for them to be asking those questions and to be exploring. On the other hand, it is not healthy for a youngster that age to be exploited, taken advantage of, or ushered into that sexual reality too early. So I think you need to deal with it not with shock and not with anger and not with great emotion, but with a firm authority and say, this is not something that we do. It's just not right. That your body is yours. It's not to be seen outside your family. This is not what God wants you to do, and it's not what I want you to do, and you must not do it again. Secondly, I would take steps to see that that seven-year-old boy does not have access to her in that way.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And then if it does recur, it is time for punishment, because then it becomes a conscious disobedience instead of just an exploration.
Right. Well, and the other thing I was going to quickly ask was, how do you react to her at her age, being 5 years old? We go through a battle every time she has to get dressed. Sunday morning, she can't understand why she can't wear pants instead of dresses. And, I mean, she throws tantrums and grunts and groans. And other than that, you know, she's just a perfect little girl. But, boy, I'll tell you, getting her dressed is the pain.
What do you do when she throws tantrums?
Well, I usually say they're going to wear this because I put this out, and if you don't like it, that's too bad. And that's, you know, I mean, that's where I've gotten to. And I don't like getting that way because it really sets my day off.
Sure. Have you spanked her?
Yes.
In what context?
Well, as far as I don't spank her the first time, but after she'll throw a fit several times, and then she'll just lay on the floor and just grunt and groan, and then I'll just pick her up and spank her and say, now, you're going to get dressed. You're going to get dressed now. And if you're not ready, you can just stay home.
I think you can.
I hate being like
yeah.
that, because this is the only incident we really get like that. But I just feel the anger inside me.
What's really interesting to me is that children enjoy power plays. And I think you would be wise to back up about 12 or 14 hours, maybe 24 hours, and see if you can't head it off. And say, Jennifer, now listen, this is Saturday morning. Sit down. I got something to talk to you about. Tomorrow morning is Sunday morning. And you remember what's been going on Sunday morning. Now, we're going to go in right now, and I'm going to lay out what you are going to wear tomorrow. Look me in the eye. This is what you are going to wear. You are my daughter. I am your mother. Someday you will make those choices, and someday I will be glad to let you make those choices. You will be a teenager, and within reasonable boundaries, you will be permitted to choose what you wear, even if I don't like it. But right now, you are 4 years of age, you're not quite five, and you must do what I tell you to do. And here it is, I'm laying it out. Now, if we're going to fight about it, let's fight right now. Because if you fight with me tomorrow morning, I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm going to spank you. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, you take charge, and you assume the leadership. And if she is absolutely confident that you will do it, then there is nothing to be gained from pushing you that far.
Oh, that sounds like a good thing.
Well, you're just dealing with the will of a child. And in all these areas, it's just important for you to square your shoulders back and don't get frustrated. Don't get angry. Make it clear to her you're in charge. I don't want to spank you. I get no pleasure out of that. No thrill whatsoever seeing you cry and hurt. But you're behaving in ways that are disrespectful to me. And it must not continue. And if that's what you insist on my doing, I will have to give it to you. Are you ready? It's better to do it earlier, like Saturday night or Saturday morning with reference to Monday, because then you set up the stage. What you're doing is you're drawing the boundaries. You're saying, this is what I want you to stay within tomorrow morning. And you can do it with less emotion yourself. You're not under time pressure, and she's more likely to accept it. Then if she fights you on those areas, deliver on the promise.
Hi. It was about leaving my daughter in the nursery. She'll be a year and a half this month, and she just can't cope with it, and it just hurts us so much, and we just can't leave her, and I don't know whether it's more damaging to just leave her and let her just cry hysterically, or just staying there till she outgrows it. And it's really just a heavy burden on my heart.
Does your daughter react this way whenever you leave her anywhere?
I can leave her with my mom and my mother-in-law, and that's about it. But I hardly ever leave her. We're always together all the time.
Are you seeing other typical toddler behavior of an 18-month-old? Is she throwing temper tantrums?
She's real well behaved. She gets a lot of discipline, a lot of love, but she's really she's afraid. When we leave her for about 15 minutes and I go back, she's just hysterical, and all day long she'll just cling to us like, "Don't leave me again."
Well, again, this is a very common reaction of a youngster that way, that age, and she is going to be that way for the next year and a half or so. She's going to want you as a full-time playmate. She's going to want to dominate your life, and maybe not at this moment, but within the next 6 months, you need to start weaning her away from that constant attention, just as you would wean her from the breast. A very common mistake made by parents of very young children is the fear of the consequences of permitting any kind of frustration to the child. So the whole family has to kind of accommodate to the whims of a toddler. You know, if he doesn't want to go to bed, then someone will just have to rock him. If he doesn't want to stay in the nursery, then mom just can't go to church and so on. Now, you got two problems to deal with. One is what's best for your life. And the other one is the reality of the church and the nursery workers and people who can't stand a screaming. But very shortly now, like I say, within 6 months, you need to put her in the nursery, say goodbye, and walk away and let her cry it out. Those tears will not hurt her, and it's exhausting to do that. And after you've done it about once or twice, then it's no fun doing it anymore, and she'll quit doing it. To not do that means that you will yield to the tyranny of tears, to the manipulation of a youngster who is saying, "Do it my way, and if you don't, I'll scream." It's not quite that conscious, but I received a letter from a father this week who told me literally that their little toddler was breaking up their home. He had made so many demands, and they were afraid to frustrate him. You know, he wouldn't go to bed at night, and when he did, he would yell and scream, and they would get him up and walk the floor with him, and they couldn't turn their back on him, and somebody had to give him the attention 24 hours a day. And that's not healthy for a child. And generally speaking, you are not going to hurt your child emotionally or long-term by going ahead and doing what you need to do and then coming back to get her. And when she finds out you always return and that the people that she stays with are not going to hurt her, then she'll settle down and you both will be better off.
Hi. The reason why I've called is I have a 3-year-old and an almost 5-year-old, and both of them suck their finger or their thumb.
Uh-huh.
And I'm becoming so distressed over this whole problem because it just bothers me that my 5-year-old is still doing this.
Do your kids know you're distressed over it?
I think so. Now they do.
Have you tried to break them of it and done so unsuccessfully?
Yes.
What measures have you taken to stop it?
Well, first I just started just reminding them, you know, not to suck it. And that you don't need it, and to pray to Jesus to ask him, you know. And then I tried putting something on it, but they like it.
What'd you put on it, sugar?
Well, you know, the bottle that they give you to put.
Yeah.
That didn't seem to work. You know, it was almost like a threat.
Yeah.
That I was even talking about it.
Do your kids know why you're concerned about this?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just because I've come to the point where I've talked to him about, you know, it looks babyish, you don't need this.
Yeah.
Getting older now, you know.
All righty, let me give you several principles. One, talk does not work. I mean, it just does not work. You can say, "Don't put your fingers in your mouth," 10,000 times, and that will not change one thing. Secondly, it's better to make no big deal about it at all until you're ready to make an all-out assault on the problem. Rather than just kind of nagging them about it and nickel and diming them and saying, "How come you do?" and, "Boy, I wish you wouldn't do that." It's better to sit down, and I would do it with a 5-year-old now, and I wouldn't worry about the 3-year-old for the moment. But I would sit your son down and I would say, now I'm going to tell you why mommy's been concerned about you sucking on your fingers. It's not any great crisis, but it does do things. It does things to your teeth. It causes your teeth to push out. And you don't want that. You'd want to go through elementary school with your teeth crooked. And also, other children are going to tease you next year. You see, you're going to be going to kindergarten pretty quickly into first grade. And that's a sign of babyishness. And I'm only concerned about it because I don't want you to go through that. I don't want them laughing at you or calling you names. And so now we're going to stop this. We're going to break you of it. And it's going to make you uncomfortable for a little while, but you're going to get over it, and then you're going to be glad. And we're going to start next Monday. Give him 2 or 3 days to think about it. All right. Then on Monday, make an all-out assault on several levels, both positive and negative. I would tape his fingers together so that they feel rough in the mouth, and I would put hot pepper or something on it that really does turn him off. And then on the other hand, I would put a chart on the refrigerator where you can put some stars. And for every 30 minutes that he can go by without putting those fingers in his mouth or trying to take off the tape, I'd put a star up there or let him put a star up there. And when he gets a certain number of stars, he gets something that he wants. He gets to go someplace with his dad, or he gets to go play miniature golf or something that he wants. And so you've got both forms of motivation. You've got the negative form. He doesn't want to put that in his mouth because that'll burn his lips or whatever you're going to use. And you have the positive because there's something to be gained from doing it right. And you make about a 3-day assault where you really ride herd on it, and you'll help him break it.
Yeah. Okay. And the 3-year-old, I should just wait until she's older.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it with a 3-year-old just now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right.
Well, we hope this Family Talk broadcast has been helpful for all of you parents of toddlers. I know for me, sometimes it's just comforting to hear that another parent is going through the same thing that I am. And, Doctor, as we reflect on what we've heard today, I'm just curious what your closing thoughts are on all of this.
Well, I guess it would be appropriate to say that the questions that were asked in the program today are similar to those I've heard a million times. Mm-hmm. You might call them pretty universal for toddlerhood. If you open the phone lines and you let people call about any family subject they want to talk about, certainly all the parents, or most of them, will ask about toddlerhood because it's a very frustrating time for mothers especially.
Yes.
And you have been through that four times,
yes.
Haven't you?
Yes.
Toddlers do irritate and frustrate parents. And many moms and dads don't know what to do about them. I think parents are less informed now than they were in the past because the culture has forgotten. Mm-hmm. They don't know what discipline is. But that's why we selected these particular calls for people to listen to today, because they're just certain characteristics of toddlers that are almost universal. Mm-hmm. The human personality is so complex, and children do differ. But it's common for kids to have temper tantrums and to show some degree of defiance, and they make messes, and they have a fear of strangers and other things that we were talking about in these calls. And then there's bedtime, and there's nap time struggles and battles over food, and on it goes. So these things go along with childhood. Get ready for them. Don't get frustrated about them. This is a precious time of life, and you will look back on that time not with irritation and anger, but with warmth. And I've had so many parents say to me, I would give all I own for one more year with those precious kids.
I totally agree, Doctor.
And if any parent would like more help for raising their own children, FamilyTalk.org is the place to begin. Mm-hmm. There you can request copies of all of my dad's best-selling books, including Bringing Up Boys and the one I'm reading right now before our new little girl comes, Bringing Up Girls.
Well-timed, Ryan. We have a number of special broadcast CD collections as well, addressing topics like raising godly children, or how to handle challenges in family life. Again, all at familytalk.org. Or ask about all of these resources when you call. The number, 877-732-6825. And if you could make a donation when you request these resources, please know it would go a long way toward helping Family Talk reach out to even more families.
Especially as we're heading towards the end of the year. Luann, December will be a very critical month for us, and it's going to help us determine how much ministry we'll be able to accomplish in 2012. Mm-hmm. And so we're counting on our listeners. If you'd like to support us, you can partner with us online at familytalk.org, or once again, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a wonderful weekend with your family, and we'll see you right back here next Monday on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.